Good evening. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalms 27. We're going to be looking at one verse in there, Lord willing, in just a little while. So this August, Lord willing, I will have been lifting weights 55 years. And I don't say that with any kind of arrogance or bravado. It's just a frame of reference. Besides, I think anyone looking at me and say, well, you know, if that's what 55 years of lifting weights look like, I think I'll take up croquet or something, or crochet or something like that. I knew early on that if I was going to enjoy one of the weightlifting sports, it was not going to be bodybuilding, and I just did not have that look. So I got into the other sports that didn't make any difference how ugly you were. You could lift all the weights you wanted to lift, and that's what counted. Now, this may seem odd, but over the years, I've come to find out and come to determine for myself that the weight room is a fertile ground for spiritual truths and applications. And I know you may be thinking, well, he's probably dropped one too many weights on his head to come up with that conclusion. And I have hit my head several times over the years, but fortunately it was my head. It was nothing vital to my body. The spiritual truths and applications do exist, though, and they're not just the ones that you would normally think of. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Or the Lord is my strength, found several times in the Old Testament. There's also this one. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Chapter 42, verse 8. And that one I learned the hard way about 30 years ago. This was back in January 1995, and back then I was still competing in powerlifting. And the sport of powerlifting consists of three different movements: the squat, the back squat, the bench press, the deadlift. And I had been competing in the submasters group, the 30 to 39 age group, as well as the open group, which didn't make any difference how old you were. And I remember November of 1994, I turned 40. And so I was going to be moving on to the masters age group, which starts 40 to 49, and then it goes subsequently on up into the 90s if you want to lift that long. And I remember looking forward to going into the master's age group because I was really, really looking forward to see if I could continue to make progress, continue to make the weights go up even as I grew older. Well, there was one evening in January of 1995, and I was going through a squat workout. And the powerlifting squat is you set the bar across your shoulders about probably 4 inches below the top of your trapezius, this is the top of your trapezius. So about 4 inches below that is where the bar sets, and then you make a descent below parallel, and what that means is, the best way I can say it, or the best way I would judge it, is when the area where the hip joint is, the hip joint is well into your hip right here, but the place where it is goes below the midpoint of your knee joint. Once you go down there, you come back up and finish the lift. Now, the workout was going really good, and I was feeling really cocky about it. And so much so that I was taking credit for all the reps, and as I remember, I wasn't giving the Lord any credit for the reps. I had felt some minor pain in my left knee, and this is nothing. This is just weightlifting stuff. Not a big deal, not enough to make me want to stop lifting at the point or even have to stop squatting. I went through the whole squat routine. And then I went over to do leg extensions. And leg extensions is a seated leg extension. So you're seated and the lower part of your leg is off the seat and it's covered by as a pad that comes up against it. The pad is hooked into weights so that when you extend the lower part of your leg, it contracts the front part of your thigh. So I do these, or I did these, in order to strengthen my knees and the front part of my thigh. So on the first rep of the lightest set of these things, I felt a pop in my knee, my left knee, my good knee. And it got, I thought it would, you know, this will go away, but it didn't, and it kept hurting enough to where I had to stop. Now, I thought it was just a minor strain. I would get back to my lifting. Again, it continued and continued week after week. And it finally got to the point that I went to the orthopedist. I got the diagnosis of a torn meniscus, and it required surgery. So in all of my years of weightlifting, I have never heard of anybody tearing their meniscus on a leg extension machine. But here I was, the exception to the rule. And so I thought that after the surgery, I would get stronger, it would get better, and I would be able to compete again. At least that's what I was hoping for. But it didn't. The left knee and the added stress to the right knee prevented me from competing again. And I could do squats, I could do bench press, but when I would try to pull a deadlift, the pain would just shoot through the knees. And so here I was, my plans, these wonderful plans I had made for competing up into my 40s and perhaps older, poof, gone just like that. I'm convinced that my failure, my refusal to acknowledge the Lord back on that January evening meant that He had to correct me. He had to correct this behavior. And this correction may seem a bit stiff, taking competition away from you for the rest of your life. But I acknowledge that His will had to be done to stop me from this arrogance that I was exhibiting. And He gets all the honor and the glory for it. You know, God takes His glory seriously. And it could have been much worse. And I think of the story over in Acts chapter 12. You remember, Herod starts persecuting the church. He has James, the brother of John, killed. He arrests Peter and put him in prison. An angel of the Lord comes and rescues him. And then there is a day that he's sitting on his throne and he's giving an oration to the people of Tyre and Sidon. And we break in at verse 21 of Acts chapter 12, and it says, "So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died." Now, having to give up competition, eaten by worms and died, I got the better end of that. The Lord and His grace and mercy, and I'll be mentioning those words, love and mercy and grace, a lot. But the Lord in His grace and mercy did not extend the full weight of what He could have done to me, though I deserved whatever He chose to do to me. And I'm continually grateful for that grace and mercy. So now we get to the subject of tonight. About 5 years ago, something in particular occurred in my lifting that led me down a new path in my personal relationship with the Lord that continues to progress even to this day. So, nothing new. My knees have degenerated over the years, and especially within the last 8 years or so. And my knees have become more and more painful. Continued deterioration of the knee joint has left me with what I'm sure some of you have experienced, knees that are virtually bone on bone. Walking or standing for any length of time is painful. Going up and down stairs, especially downstairs, is very painful. And during this time, various leg exercises that I was doing in my weightlifting had become more and more painful as well. And it got to the point where I was very concerned that I might have to give up this principal leg exercise, the back squat. And it's the hardest, but it's my most favorite thing to do in my lifting because mainly it is the most productive thing I do in my lifting. Now, just to give you a little background, barbell squats can be done any kind of ways. There's all kinds of ways to do them. The way I previously described, or a high bar squat that goes on top of the traps, or the bar coming across the front of the chest, which is called front squats. And there are other variations of barbell squats. It's an extremely important exercise, not only for weightlifters, but for anybody, and anybody in any stage of life, really, if you're able to do it. The squat is something that we learn from infancy. I read that, I read that infants begin, as they begin to walk and learn more balance or develop more balance, they begin squatting at the age of like 13 to 18 months. And they do this because they do this to pick something up, and because they do that in a squat, they're able to maintain their balance more. So squatting is something that we were created to do. It is something that we were designed to do. Unfortunately, as we get older, we tend not to squat. We lose the ability and the desire to do it, which leads to even more physical problems. Instead of lifting with our legs from a squat, we get something off the floor, we bend over at the waist, and boing, there goes something in your back. At the gym that I go to, there are about 8 machines that people can do that mimic or simulate a squat just so you don't have to put a barbell across your back and squat down and do it like that. Squats are kind of like liver. You either love it or you hate it. It's not. I'm right there with you. But the squat is, I like to say, the engine that drives everything else. It has so many applications for both lifters, for other athletes, for people in everyday life. And I would illustrate the importance of it as saying, and I've told people this down through the years, if there was only one gym in town and the only thing that you could do there was barbell squats, it would be worth your money to go there, join that gym, and do that one exercise. I've told other people also through the years that the squat is the best, by far, bar none, second to none, primo weight training exercise that there is. There is none better. And 55 years almost of doing this confirms this over and over to me. So the thought 5 years ago that possibly I was going to have to give up this most important exercise to me, you know, I didn't look forward to it, and I dreaded the possibility. So I ask the Lord to help me with this. Please, if it be your will, please don't make me have to give up squats. Now, I knew the Lord's will was going to be best, but boy, how I wanted to keep squatting. And we've read about the Apostle Paul requesting the Lord 3 times to remove his thorn in the flesh. And I take from my understanding of the context of that, that this was 3 separate times. And the Lord's response in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, I made those 3 requests, not that 3 is a magic number. But I made those 3 requests, but not 3 different times. I did it all at one time. And it went something like this. "Lord, please, if it be your will, please don't make me have to give up squats. Please let me be able to keep squatting if it's your will. Lord, I know your will is best, but please, if it's your will, please let me keep squatting." And you know, sometimes there are things that we want very badly, and we know that the Lord's will is the best outcome for that particular thing, but I know from my own experience, sometimes I can be practically afraid of what the Lord's will might be, considering what it might do to what I want. Well, the Lord gave me an answer right away. And bear with me, this was his answer to me. "Okay, but you got to do it my way." when the Lord answered my prayer, and I say this reverently, I didn't receive a heavenly vision. I didn't have a supernatural dream. I didn't hear a loud voice from heaven. It was that still small voice within me. But it was absolutely, unmistakably God's answer. There was no doubt. There was no confusion. It was crystal clear. In fact, and I'll say this, it was just as clear as me speaking to you tonight. That kind of an answer. And as I've considered how God answered that prayer, I think back to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, and Elijah has complained to the Lord that he is the only one left of the Lord's servants. And part of the Lord's answer to him in verses 11 and 12 goes like this. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." You know, the Lord can be so succinct in his answers sometimes, but those answers can carry such depth of meaning. He didn't have to yell his answer to me. It came in that very calm and very clear way, that still small voice. And now that I had my answer, I wondered what the Lord meant, but you got to do it my way. I could have responded at that time by saying, "You know, I've been lifting almost 50 years at this point. I got a pretty good handle on how to do this. So, Lord, if you just give me the ability to do it, I'll figure out how to keep squatting." But, and I'll say this three times, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. I did not listen to that advice. You know, you get to a place in those circumstances and trials in life when you know you got nothing. If God is not going to intervene, there is no hope. There is no way through. And it's particularly in those times that you realize the truth of Paul's words that we find in 2 Corinthians 12:10. "When I am weak, then I am strong." In those times, we see the relevance of Psalms 127:1, which becomes so appropriate. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." So getting that answer, or that part of the answer, okay, relieved the dread that I had of giving up the squat. The Lord was going to give me the ability to keep doing it, and I was ready to do it however way he wanted it. Kind of a mix of excitement and caution all at the same time. The way he showed me was when I descended into the squat, I was to come to a complete dead stop in the bottom of the squat. Not halfway down, not parallel down, all the way down. And only after I came to a complete stop, I began to ascend to a standing position. Now, for anybody who regularly does squats or anybody with knee problems, this doesn't seem the way to do it. In fact, the word that came to me during that time is the word counterintuitive. Now, that's not a word I use, but that's the word that came to me. So I looked it up. What is counterintuitive? And so the definition was contrary to intuition or common sense expectation. That was the one, common sense expectation. Stopping in the bottom of the squat, proceeding to stand back up from a dead stop would not ever seem to be the thing that you would do or a person would do with bad knees. It's not a common sense expectation. However, what seemed counterintuitive to me was what God, in His infinite wisdom, prescribed as the perfect solution. And while this seemed counterintuitive to me, we see instances of God dealing like this in multiple situations in the Scripture. God tells Noah to build an ark. God tells Abraham and Sarah they're going to have a child when they're past childbearing years. God gives Gideon an army of 300 people to take on the army of the Midianites and the Amalekites. God gives Samson the jawbone of a donkey to fight the Philistine army. And there are other ones I'm sure that you may remember. But it further reminds me of the words in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I remember about 2 years before all this started happening, I had been watching this Irish weightlifter on YouTube, and there was one particular time that I saw him that he was doing a squat workout. And he would squat all the way down, stop for a long time, and then come back up. And I started working this into my squat routine. Now, I didn't go near as low as he did. I didn't wait near as long as he did. But as I've thought about it since then, this journey that I've been on for a few years, I've come to realize that even before I knew I had a problem, the Lord was already preparing me for just this particular time and reason. This one who knows the end from the beginning was already putting things into place before there was a problem to be. In addition to the Lord's answer and direction to help me through it, according again to His mercy and grace, He gave me a verse in Psalms 27. And it's going to be one that you know very well. Depending on how old you are or how long you've been saved, you may have heard it hundreds of times. But it's verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the application of this verse to my squats may not be exactly correct as to the original Hebrew, but it is no less true. And the application was this way. When you get to the bottom of the squat, you have to wait on the Lord. You have to stop all movement. You've got to have good courage. And if you do these two things, the Lord promises to strengthen your heart, or in my case, strengthen my knees. But be very clear, pay attention, you have to wait. Now, I want to be clear on the courage that I'm talking about here in my situation. My courage is not life and death courage. This is not the same extent as a man or a woman who, a hero who does something extraordinary like pulling somebody out of a burning building at the risk of their own life. And as I said at the beginning, there is no bragging or bravado about this. In its simplest description, I believe, for me, courage is trusting the Lord, having faith that what the Lord promised to do, He will do, and going forward in obedience to that, even when the course that He has prescribed for us seems strange and unclear. The last part of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Does it take courage to do that? I believe it does. We don't even know what the course looks like. But Hebrews 12, 2 follows it up with this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the originator and the perfecter of our faith." We don't know what the course holds for us, but we know who's waiting for us on the other end. And He knows every grain of sand. He knows every pebble. He knows every twist and turn. And so we press on. But you may say, well, you're describing faith. And I agree, we run the race by faith. But doesn't faith take courage? Again, I believe it does. Courage is not something that is just reserved for those life and death situations. It is everyday stuff. It takes courage for you young folks when everyone around you is telling you to do something you know is wrong, and you say no to that in obedience to the Lord. Now, I can tell you that in performing any type of weightlifting squat, you generally want to keep the bar moving. You want to perform the lift in one fluid motion, concentric, eccentric, the motions down and up. So when the Lord expected me to do the way he told me to do it, it was radical. It was going against all that I knew about lifting weights while experiencing knee pain. But you know, when I began squatting this way, the way he told me to do it, I found that the pain problem in this most important leg exercise was significantly reduced, or actually disappeared. Sometimes I would get a twinge of pain, but that's all it would be. Nothing that would hold me back. I was amazed each time that I squatted to see the Lord work through every rep of every set of that workout. Did the Lord heal my knees and make them regenerated and rejuvenated inside? Nope. Same old knees. Same old problems. But God, by his power and strength, and according, again, to his love and his mercy and grace, enabled those old, poor, degenerated knees to move in a new way. Does this God-given ability to squat without pain transfer to other parts of my life? Other tasks like walking up and down stairs? No. Same pain. But that is what I asked for specifically, and that's what he gave me specifically. Now, this may sound really carnal of me, but the truth is what the truth is. I probably pray more during squats than in any other activity of my life. I've come to the realization over the years that, especially in squats, that I have to have the Lord's help for each rep. I have to have it from beginning to end. And I have to make sure that he gets the credit for it after I'm through. I'm completely dependent upon him for each rep of each set of every workout. And you know, Satan, self, and the old nature, they come in, they try to sow doubt and fear and discouragement and distraction. And then once the Lord has blessed you through a set, they try to come back in and try to take credit for it. But that's who they are. And they're the enemy. When I step out of the rack, that piece of equipment that holds the bar at the right height for you, with the bar on my shoulders and set up for the squat, Psalms 27:14 is always on my lips. I quote this verse before the beginning of each and every set. Now, Psalms 27:14 is not a magic formula to get what you want, but it is what the Lord gave me to help me accomplish what he wanted me to do in his direction that he chose for me. One particular thing that I've learned through this experience is that Psalms 27:14 requires complete obedience. As it applies to this particular verse, if you refuse to wait, if you refuse to be courageous, don't expect the Lord to strengthen your heart, especially if you refuse to wait. And I know that because I've proved that to be the case over and over again. There have been times when I didn't want to wait in the bottom. I wanted to come right on back up. There are times when I was not courageous, thinking, man, this weight feels heavy. I don't think 27:14 is going to work on this. And the problem ends up being pain and defeat. But amazingly, when I obey God's word, when we obey God's word, God honors that obedience. And as I've thought about this, I've also asked the question, does God need me to wait and be courageous for him to strengthen my heart? Is his strength dependent on me? And of course, the obvious answer is no, it's not. This is the sovereign and omnipotent ruler of the universe. He doesn't need me to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But I found out something in all of this, that God, in his love and mercy and grace, allows me to be part of his working on my behalf. But once again, it's only as I am obedient to his direction that I am allowed to be part of his plan. Just as a sideline study of something the Holy Spirit has shown me during this journey is about those words, courage and courageous. You remember back over in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses tells Joshua to be strong and courageous twice. Joshua 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous two times, and one time he tells him to be strong and very courageous. Later on in the chapter, the children of Israel tell him to be strong and courageous. I don't know what kind of effect that must have had upon Joshua to hear this six times. Three from God, two from Moses, one from the children of Israel. Be strong and courageous. He learned very well, and we see from his life, he knew that it takes courage to do God's will in this world. Interestingly, in my brief study of the word courage in the scriptures, I didn't find one time where a person asked the Lord for courage. I didn't find one time where we are told to ask or pray to the Lord for courage. We are told to encourage others, but we can't instill courage in somebody. It has to come from within that person. Over in Mark chapter 15, speaking of Joseph of Arimathea, it said, coming in and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. In this study, it appears to me that one can be strong but not courageous, but I don't think you can be courageous and not strong. Courage has that enabling power that leads people to do things that seem impossible. And since we're on this brief tangent in the study, I just want to encourage all the younger fellows here, the saved younger fellows, and the younger fellows and the saved younger ladies in the Wednesday night service, in the prayer time, the younger fellows also in the Sunday morning worship time. Don't let your age hinder your participation. The Holy Spirit is not limited by your age. God can use you no matter what your age. And, you know, you can say, well, I'll wait till I'm a little older and then I won't be in such fear, and then I'll participate. I'm afraid it's probably not going to work out like that. Because as I've learned from doing a study on this courage part, there are several people, and the theme of what they said about courage was courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward even in the face of fear. And again, one of the lessons we can learn from this verse in Psalms 27:14 is that when we are obedient to God and are courageous for him, he will honor that obedience and courage. Now, this version of 27:14 that I read to you came out of the New King James. A few years ago, I began using an online source for my daily reading of my devotions. And I came to a source called Bible Gateway, which has 60 different versions, translations, paraphrases just in the English language alone. So after I had read this in the New King James, I went back and I looked at all these other ones and see what they had to say. How did they quote this verse? And an interesting thing was that many leave out or alter the words, "and he shall strengthen your heart." And I thought about that. What if I had been following another translation or version in my reading? The message that the Lord gave me may have seemed different, or maybe he would not even have used 27:14. But the words, "and the Lord's, and he shall strengthen your heart," are so imperative. Waiting on the Lord and being courageous without the promise of his strength seems so different. So I'm thankful when I was studying, the Lord led me to that verse in that translation or version. Considering that verse again, it's as if the Lord was saying to me, be obedient in waiting on me, be courageous in what I have for you to do, and my promise is that I will strengthen your heart, but pay attention. I'm going to say this a second time. You have to wait on me. Now, as I was going through preparing for this message, I thought I was going to be able to, there's more to this message, and I thought I was going to be able to squeeze it all in and no problem get it done, but there has to be another part. There's not enough time to keep going. This journey that the Lord has brought me on, he continues to take me on. It's not just one time he starts and that's it and you're left on your own. But he continues to take me on this journey. And I continue to be excited about what is he going to do next. You know, it's like you see all these wonderful things, you read all these wonderful things that God has done, and you experience it for yourself. What is he going to do next? I've probably told some of y'all at least this before, but I liken this to when you start studying the Word of God under the Holy Spirit's direction, and it's like you're walking along and there's precious stones just laying around everywhere. There's a diamond here and an emerald there and a ruby there and a pearl here, and you just continue to go forward. And you come to this place and you see this little piece of gold sticking out. You think, oh, it's just a little gold nugget. So you go to it and you start to pull on it and it doesn't pull. And it's not a gold nugget, it's the beginning of a gold vein. And so you start thinking, well, I'm just going to dig into this vein a little bit till it runs out and see where it takes me. And you start digging into the vein and it continues to go like this. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and there's like no end to it. The riches of God's word are infinitely bountiful. Just in closing tonight's message, though, there's a song, "He Giveth More Grace," that I'd like to read to you. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace." Verse 2, "Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun." The chorus goes like this: "His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Thank you.
First year out of college, we roomed together. And we worked out together. At a place called Ronnie Barnes Gym. And I've used that same verse. And I've stood in front of that squat bar, waited for the Lord to pick it up. I never did. So I would just turn around and go do something else.